Gospel reading will be found on page 877 of the Church Bible, page 877. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Chapter 14, beginning to read at the 8th verse. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, but if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and, in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you." Verse 25. "I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The witness of the Holy Spirit is evident in the story of that first Pentecost morning, the story that was read to us from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, a very dramatic account of that day, which sometimes is considered to be, as it were, the birthday of the church. Jesus has left the disciples on earth. He has risen, they have seen him, but then he has ascended into heaven. One of my colleagues at the prison put a sign up on Ascension Day, and it read, "Today is Ascension Day. It's the celebration of when Jesus began working from home." I think there's some truth in that, for indeed we know that he continues to work in the world in which we live. But at the time, you can imagine, when he had ascended into heaven, that the disciples were wondering what happens next. The gospel reading suggests that really Jesus had already told them. But of course, doubt probably still lingered in their minds. they were without the physical presence of their Lord. And as we know, as Jesus promised, the Spirit came with great drama on that first Pentecost morning. They went out into the streets. They preached so that those from many parts of the then known world were able to understand exactly what they were saying. My feeling, as it were, for my own personal faith, is that the events of the death, well, the life of, and the death and the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus and the coming at Pentecost, and the accounts that we have in the Bible are there in the text, but the evidence is here in this church this morning. The fact that so many years later, 2,000 and odd years later, here we are in what would have been a far-flung area of the Roman Empire, still being faithful and coming to worship. But how does the Holy Spirit continue to witness to us? There's an old adage, isn't there? Perhaps we tell our children, who, you know, do this a lot, that we have two ears and one mouth, which means that we should listen twice as much as we speak. And of course, we have two eyes as well to help those ears along. How do we listen to the Holy Spirit? How do we judge what we are feeling, what we are thinking, the knowledge we are taking in, whether it is the truth as God would want us to receive it? If we think about it, I've mentioned about all of us being in this church this morning. We all got up, we got ready, we got dressed, and we came. Why is that? For in some real way, the story of Jesus, what we have been told, perhaps many of us from when we were small, and have read for ourselves in the scriptures, particularly in the Gospels, the picture of Jesus that's in our minds, the picture which we create for ourselves when, as we read the Gospels, the pictures we see in art, the pictures, as it were, that are painted for us in some of the wonderful hymns and songs that we sing in worship, and the teaching of Jesus, which comes from the scriptures, obviously, and also in the way that we have been taught to live our lives. All those things are with us. Why is that? Why should we feel all that? Why should we have the knowledge of all that? I think that's because that is the work of the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit working in our lives and working for us, with us, in us. There's a book published many years ago now. It must be, because it was published when I was at theological college, so it must be many years ago. It slipped my mind, actually, the author of the book. It's called The Go-Between God. The Go-Between God. And it talks about the Spirit being that, the go-between between the Father, the Son, and ourselves. And not only just ourselves, but how the Spirit works in the world. One place to another, one person to another, one community to another. Another example would be the centurion. Another way I thought about this, the centurion standing at the foot of the cross saying, surely this man was the Son of God. When all around him, people around him, apart from Jesus' close disciples and family, were shouting at Jesus and wanting to see his death on that cross. The centurion said, surely this man was the Son of God. He'd picked up from what he'd heard about Jesus, from the teaching of Jesus, he had picked up the truth. This man was the Son of God. That, I think, is an example of the working of the Spirit, even in the darkest times around Jesus' death. John was recording Jesus saying this, that the world cannot receive him. The world cannot receive him, but the disciples will receive him. Jesus is aware of the opposition the disciples will have, and indeed the Spirit will have in the world after he has left them, despite the Spirit coming. And in our Christian lives, no doubt we experience that. Very difficult. Many people have thought about this. What exactly does Jesus mean by the world? What does he mean by the world? This is the world that God created. But we know that as Christians, some parts of the world openly persecuted, and perhaps we ourselves face a sort of persecution in various ways, you know. Imagine people opening their curtains on a Sunday morning and saying, oh, there's Mrs. So-and-so, Mr. So-and-so, whoever it is, going to church. What on earth are they doing that for? What are they doing? Do they really believe in this God? What a waste of a Sunday morning when they could be cleaning the car. We have that feeling, don't we, sometimes, that in some direct or indirect way, we are being persecuted. Other matters of the world, for some people, for a lot of people, blot out, as it were, the work of the Spirit. But then that is also our mission, in whatever way we can, to come alongside people, and again, in whatever way we can, show the truth of what we believe in. We have the knowledge. We have the knowledge about Jesus. We also, with that knowledge, those of us who commit ourselves to following him have a conviction of the truth. As I mentioned before, we're here, and so we have a conviction of that truth. And in many ways, as I say, in whatever way we can, we need to testify to that truth. Might be what we say, might be what we do for others, the way that we live our lives. Not leaning towards that we are justified by those works. We know that's not the case. We can only depend on our faith in Christ. And I suppose it would be remiss of me, not at this particular time of year, in this particular country, in this year, to show that there are many down the years who have done just that. They've had the knowledge of Jesus, they've had the conviction of the truth of Jesus, and they have also in many ways testified to that truth. And as it were, this weekend we have been celebrating the 70th anniversary of the accession of Queen Elizabeth II to the throne of this country. A prime example of Christian service. And she doesn't hide the fact that she has been underpinned by her faith in the truth of the gospel. We thank her for that, and we celebrate that as one of the ways, I think, in which the Holy Spirit has worked through that particular lady. So the coming of the Holy Spirit to the disciples on that first Pentecost is a challenge for us to keep our hearts, our minds, our ears, and our eyes open to how he is working with us. 2,000 years later, we can still feel the power of that Spirit in our lives. May we go on in this next year to do that.